All right, if you'd open your Bible to Luke, as we continue going through the Gospel of Luke. Now we're in, where are we? We're in Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. Who said 21? They're in a hurry. All right, now we'll get there. Amen. Luke chapter 20. We left off last time looking at that vineyard, and before that, the question of authority. And as the Lord has now come into Jerusalem, preparing to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And while he's here this week, he's dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so now we're looking here, and the chief priests and the scribes are going to come before the Lord. And let's see this occurrence beginning in verse 19. Luke chapter 20 and verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. What was the parable? The father's looking for fruit from his vineyard. He's sending his servants to prophets. They're rejecting them. Finally, he says, I'll send my son. They'll receive him. What do they do to the son? He said, you're going to kill the son so that you can get the inheritance for yourself. They perceive that he speaks this against them, so what do they perceive? What do they then proceed to do? Try to kill him, which is what he told them they would do. It's an amazing thing. So verse 20, they watched him, sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. When you have to fake being a good man, what does that mean you are? Yeah, exactly. They feigned themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him into the power and authority of the governor. Now, did Jesus ever do anything wrong? Did Jesus ever sin? Do you know that the whole time that Jesus, in his 3.5-year ministry, and every time he spoke, that the Lord never had to apologize for anything he said? Wouldn't that be something? If you never had to take your words back, wouldn't that be something? If you never even had to say, you know what I meant to say was, haven't we all done that? The Lord never did. And yet they're out to try to catch him in his words. Believe me, if they're out to get the Lord, and you're going to stand up for the Lord, they'll be out to get you. They're going to try to catch you in the words. But don't worry about it. They did it to Jesus. That should be considered an honor. Verse 21, they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their what? Craftiness. They're not being honest. They're not asking this question because they really want an answer. They're up to something. He perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Now it's interesting, if you look there in verse 21, when they come before Jesus, look how they're talking. Look how they're talking here, verse 21. They asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Really? If they knew that, then what was their excuse not to listen to him? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to schmooze. They're trying to politic. They're trying to worm their way around. You know they've done that before. A fellow named Nicodemus, he tried that once with Jesus. Remember that? Look back there in John 3, right after Luke. Hold your place there in Luke. But look just after Luke in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Look at that. Same confession, see? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, well, thank you very much, I do my best and I try. No, he didn't. You see, he wasn't affected by man's flattery. You know what he said? He told that religious leader of his day these words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He just went right at him and let him know, your religion isn't going to do anything for you. You need to be born again. And if you aren't born again, you're not going to heaven. Amen. That's what he let him know, right there. You say, but don't you think if Jesus did that, I thought we had one hitting the altar already. All right, don't you think if Jesus did that, that he might have offended him? Yeah, and Jesus never cared. Jesus just gave the truth. You see, he wasn't affected by that. Look back in chapter 2, John, right there in John 2. Look at the last, look at verse 23 for the context. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now Jesus was God. Jesus was the image of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. And he's looking at those men, and he already knows everything about them. He knows their sins. He knows their motives. He knows it all. And so when they're coming to him here, look here back in Luke chapter 20, and they're coming under the guise of just asking a question. Do you ever have somebody come to you and just want to ask you a question about the Bible? You know, where did Cain get his wife? You know, something dumb like that. Tell you where he got his wife. He got his wife from where he was at. She conceived in the land of Nod. It didn't say that's where he met her. You see, you talk to people and they have no idea. You know what they did? They heard somebody else say something. Judge not. We were talking about that this morning, right? Judge not, lest you be judged. You know what that is? They heard somebody else say that. They don't know what they're talking about. They haven't read the passage. They don't know the context of the passage. So what is that? That's not people that are wanting to know the Bible. That's not people that are wanting to learn the truth. That's people that are trying to catch the Lord in his words so they have an excuse for doing wrong. See? And the Lord knows that. He knew what those fathers were up to. You come to God with a wrong heart, and he already knows it. Amen? He already knows it. He realized their motive right off the bat. Already knew what they were about. Remember, look back there in verse 20 now. Luke chapter 20 and verse 20. They watched him, sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words. So they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. They're a Messiah. And they're just looking for an excuse to have him arrested and have him killed. That's what's going on in this passage. You consider that thing. Now, what is the question that they're asking in verse 22? Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Now, that's the question. Why are they asking Jesus that question? Because if he says, yes, it is lawful for you to pay taxes, as a Jew, who are they supposed to tribute to? The priest. It was, see? So that would be against Jewish law for them to pay taxes. But if he said no, then he'd be in trouble with Roman authority. He'd be a tax evader. See? See? I mean, think about that. Is it right for you to pay taxes? You know, that question was asked before. In the Gospels. Turn there with me real quick. Let me find that for you real quick. Look here in Matthew 17. Matthew 17. There was a fellow from Pensacola a while back. He didn't think it was right for Christians to pay taxes, so he didn't pay it. And he's in jail now. Oops. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, that's the tax collectors, right? They that received the tribute money, where I just lost my verse, where is it? Thank you. Came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? They're coming to Peter and saying, hey, you Christians, that Jesus fellow, y'all pay taxes? That's the question. What's Peter's response? Verse 25, he said, yes. That's it, right? Yeah. Did Peter know that? No, he just was defending his Lord, but he didn't know. So how do you know that? Watch what occurs. See? And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him. So where's Jesus? He's standing right at the door. He's waiting for Peter to come back. Why? Because Jesus already knew what happened. He had already been there and seen it. Because he's God. Peter didn't know that. And here's Peter coming back after, well, he stood up to the Lord best he could. He just told him, well, yeah. But is that, what's Peter now thinking? What's going on in Peter's mind? Well, I think he does. I mean, I hope he does. What if he doesn't? And I don't know. And see, all of a sudden now he's got these doubts. He has these concerns. He's coming back to the house. And as he's going into the house, there's Jesus waiting on him right there. Says, so Peter, what do you think? Is it lawful? Should we pay taxes? Look what he says. Verse 25, he saith, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Is anybody here saved? Anybody here a Christian? Then where's your home? It's not here, is it? It's up there. Where's our country? See? Where's our loyalty lie? Right? But at the same time, verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Look at that. Go thou to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Not only did the Lord say, yeah, you ought to pay taxes, the Lord even provided the money to pay it. He said, you're going to go down there and catch a fish. You open his mouth, I'll have some money stuck in there for you. You're talking about a miracle. Huh? We're having a fish fry today. Y'all going to be looking to see if there's money in there now, aren't you? Huh? Right? Be like an oyster, you know, finding some pearls or something. But the Lord said, hey, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about that. You don't have to be concerned with that, you know. And you best watch that. That's a testimony to this world. That's a testimony to this world. You ought to be honest in your financial dealings with this world. Why? Because they're just looking for an excuse. They're just looking for an excuse. Look in Romans 13, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. Verse 6. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. How about that? See that? For what cause? Verse 5. You must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Wrath means what? They'll fine you. They'll throw you in jail. And for conscience sake. Why? You ought to want to know you're doing right all the time as a Christian. And would it be a right for you to cheat on your taxes? Avoid paying what you... Now listen, if there's loopholes, if it's legal for you to not pay what you don't have to pay, don't pay it. But don't be cheating. Don't be stealing. Don't be lying. Now come on, folks. How many of you, if you get in a pickle, you're going to get on the phone, you're going to call the fire company, you're going to call the sheriff, you're going to drive on the roads out here, you're going to count on your military, right? You want to use the government for stuff. That money doesn't grow on a tree. See? That's why I'm for small government, because I don't want them taking all my taxes. But they're going to get theirs. That's all there is to it. You ought to thank God at least you live in some place where there's some kind of representation. Most people that ever grew up, whatever the king said, went. And you dealt with it, whatever it was. See? Whatever taxes had to be paid, you paid. And he says in verse 6, "To this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Yeah, but they're all a bunch of cheats, and they're all a bunch of sizers. It doesn't matter. God's going to provide what's needed. It's best to have a good conscience. It's best to have a good testimony. Now look with me in Matthew chapter 6. I know we're looking at quite a few scriptures here, but that'd be okay, wouldn't it? Look at the Bible in church. All right, Matthew chapter, I know that's a novel thought these days, but Matthew chapter 6. What you got going on now, brethren, ever since 2008 with this banking crisis and all that stuff? See? Listen, people talk about, oh, that church, you know, the church is, they just want your money. Have you ever heard that? Those churches, well, there's some preachers, that's what all they're about, that's true. Those churches just want your money. Hey, you know who wants your money? This world wants your money. Everybody wants your money. Don't just blame that on the churches. Those IRS agents, they want your money. Amen. Those lawyers, they want your money. Those advertisers, they want your money. Those doctors, those pharmacists, they want your money. It seems like everybody wants your money. So why is that? Because they do. It's this world. That's all it is. You know, they're going to try everything they can to get what they can. You know, I just found out last week I won a cruise. Of course, you read the fine print, you know, there's a little more to it than just won a cruise, you know. I like these people, they go on and they do the auction thing online, you know, and then they say, look what I won. I said, you won that? Really? Yeah, well, I had to pay for it. And how'd you win it, you know? Well, I got it, nobody else got it but me. You mean you were the sucker? All right, anyway, you know, they're worried about the world wanting to... Listen, this stuff that went on with the banking crisis and all that too, that, you know what that is? That's a bunch of people out for your money. That's all that was. You think those banks got hurt? How is it that they didn't seem like they had enough money for the Social Security system? They didn't have enough money to help people, you know, pay for needed things. They didn't have enough money to even get the government to really work right. But all of a sudden, when the banks had trouble, all of a sudden they came up with $800 billion and then another $1.5 trillion to throw at it. Isn't that amazing? But they didn't have that money for the military, for our veterans. But they had, don't you understand what's going on? Is everybody out there with their hand in the till? Amen. That's the definition of politics. And you know that? What's the definition of politics? What's poly mean? Many. What's a tick? All right, many bloodsuckers. Amen. That's what they are. That's the definition of politics. They all got their hand in the till. Look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And then that stuff has led to all the problems you have now, all these financial collapses and everything else. Over in Cyprus, when that thing happened, you know what they did? They just started taking money out of everybody's bank accounts. Well, that'll never happen here. You sure? Your Social Security money? Your retirement? You sure? You never know. Who has the most powers? Who gets what they want when the hand's in the jar? That's how that works. This world's just out for your money. That's all it is. Look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. This church don't want your money. Lord's going to provide what we need. But my suggestion is that you put it somewhere where it's going to last forever. And there's only one way to do that. And that's when you invest it in the things of the Lord. Amen? This church, the minister of this church, this boys' home, all that stuff, you know what that is? When you put that money there, you know what the Lord says? I've taken that, I'm putting that up in heaven. That will last forever. You want to save it down here, you want to use it down here, help yourself. But when you use it, it's gone. And whatever's left when you leave is gone. And the only thing that's going to count one day, brethren, is what's been given to the Lord. That's made perfectly clear. Jesus, look back in the passage now. We'll get through the introduction quickly. Look here in Luke, again, Luke chapter 20. You see, in this whole thing, they really thought they had the Lord cornered. They had him cornered. Well, if he says this, we got him. And he says this, we got him. We got him! Don't ever think you can corner God. Don't ever think that, amen? He's always 20 steps ahead of you. Always will be. And you know what the Lord did here? He just answered him and he just said, well, give me that penny. Let me see it. Okay, that's got Caesar's image on it. So I'll tell you what. You give Caesar what Caesar owns. You give God what God owns. How about that? They didn't know how to handle that. They couldn't believe a response like that. You know why? They didn't understand, even as most Christians don't understand today, that in the Bible you're dealing with two kingdoms. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. A physical kingdom and a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, physical kingdom. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. That's why Jesus is called the Son of Man, king over the physical kingdoms, and the Son of God, king over the spiritual kingdoms. And that's why today in the church, we worship and follow the Son of God in the kingdom of God. We're not interested in the Son of Man and the kingdom of heaven. But people don't know how to rightly divide the scriptures anymore. See? And what the Lord is showing is there's a difference between the physical kingdoms and the spiritual kingdoms. Now, when the Lord comes back, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come back in physical warfare, and he's going to take over the physical kingdoms, and then you'll have a new world. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. See? Then it'll be render unto Jesus the things that are Jesus, and unto Jesus the things that are Jesus. It'll all be his. But it's not that way right now. You have the physical powers of this earth. Jesus said, until then, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. So he says, you'll have wars and rumors of wars. But there's coming a day when all of that will be resolved. But it isn't yet. And that's what he's pointing out. But they couldn't even figure out what he was talking about, see? Now here's the thing you can get from that, which is good. You can be godly and still be patriotic. There's nothing wrong with that. You can love your country and love God. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm retired military. I'm as patriotic as it comes. I don't like a lot of things going on in this country. But I love my country. Amen. But when it comes to making a decision one day on which one I'm going to stay in forever, it's not this one. It's just temporal. I'm longing for and looking for that home which is eternal. How about you? Can anybody say amen right there? All right. Now, one thing in all this you need to get a hold of, and what the Lord is showing here as well, which is very helpful for you and I today, there are going to be situations where you will not be able to obey the government and the Lord. And that's when you're going to have to make a decision whom you will obey. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look here in Acts chapter 5. How many of you have ever heard of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember what that was about? That's when the Jews were overtaken by Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar, he decides to make an image. And he's going to play the music. And when he plays the music, everybody's supposed to bow and worship the image. Now, did God want his people to do that? No. So would it have been right for those Jewish people to bow and worship an idol? No. So you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? They said, we're not going to do it. Why? Because we're supposed to obey God over man. And when man is asking us and telling us to do something we know isn't pleasing to God, we're always going to put God first. See? Now, when you can render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God, which is most of the time, then do it. But when you can't, and that you get right there, then what are you going to do? Who are you going to obey? See? The Bible says that's when you're supposed to obey God. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? They obeyed God, even though they knew, most certainly, that they were going to go into that fire and never come out. We're going to obey God rather than man. Look here in the book of Acts, chapter 5, and notice what happens to these apostles shortly after the Lord had ascended, and they begin to preach. And look in there, verse 17, with me, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. All right, get those guys you put in prison, bring them out here. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. How'd they get out of the prison? And secondly, when they got out of the prison, why didn't they run away? They're to stay right there in the temple teaching the people the truth. Verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a time when they're going to start trying to tell the churches what they can teach and what they can preach and what they can't. And when that happens, guess what? Fully on them. Because we're going to still preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God. You say, but what if they say it's wrong to teach against homosexuality? Then fully on them, we're going to teach that it's wrong. Amen. That's the idea. Look what he said. Look what he said. You would fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They already did that. They're the ones that said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. They already had done that. Verse 29, Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, What do they say? We ought to obey God rather than man. That's the idea. And there's going to be times when you're going to have to make that decision. God help you to make the right one. God help you to be bold and stand for right, even if no one else does. How about Daniel? They said, boy, we got to do something to get rid of this Daniel. But we can't find anything against him. But you know what? He's always praying. If we could come up with a law against prayer, we'll get him. So that's what they do. And they trick the king into signing it. And then they catch Daniel praying, as he had always done. And when that thing happened, they take Daniel and they put him in the lion's den. And the Lord delivered him. But you know what Daniel had purposed in his heart? You don't think Daniel knew that they had come out with that law? He knew. But you know what he was going to do? He was going to please God instead of man. And there's going to be those times when you're going to have to make that decision. Here's Mordecai. And why didn't Haman like Mordecai? Why did Haman, he was so disgusted because Mordecai wouldn't bow down before him. See? Mordecai says, no, I'm a Jew. I'm not going to do that. I worship God. I'm not going to worship any man. And because he stood for right and he served God, the Lord turned that thing around on Haman. Amen. He made up his mind he was going to please God more than man. And that ought to be the case. Amen. But I want to get back to this now, and then we'll get into the message. Quickly. Jesus takes that coin, and he says, whose image is that? You know why? Because whose image was it? It was Caesar's. You know what that meant? Who owned that coin? Because it was his image. Now God made man,